Locked On NBA. I'm David Locke. Trevor Booker, NBA player analyst for the Locked On Podcast Network, will stop by to join me. We'll run through last night's action as well. It's all coming up on Locked On NBA.
You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
How are you? I'm David Locke, host of Locked On Jazz, Thursday host of Locked On NBA. Thanks very much for tuning into your daily podcast on the NBA, giving you all you need in a bite-sized 30 minutes with great guests, including NBA player Trevor Booker, acting as an analyst for the Locked On Podcast Network, Sam Amick from The Athletic, Washington Post, Ben Golliver throughout the week as well. Adam Matas and Anthony Irwin will join you tomorrow. And remember, when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On NBA. All right, let's take a quick run through the games last night, and then Trevor will join us to talk about, we talked yesterday, to talk about all the things that are taking place in the game. Some interesting comments about the Lakers and Celtics, why Indiana continues to be better than anyone else could have ever imagined, and some things of that nature, and a fun conversation with a perspective a little different than everybody else. Houston pulled off the 118-113 win over Charlotte last night, and Portland beat Boston 97-92. So from a Western Conference standpoint, as we walk down to the final 20-some-odd games of the playoff positioning, very interesting. Both those teams playing very well right now. Portland has been undefeated since the break on an East Coast road trip. That was a defensive game almost entirely. We didn't know that Portland could play that kind of defensive game. They held Boston to 95.8 points per possession, while obviously not being much better themselves. But Boston's offense, which has clicked in and seemed to have been better, eluded them for an evening. And obviously Boston in a throes of trouble. Kyrie had 31 for them last night, but overall, the lack of being able to go to the free throw line, just 10 free throws from Boston, continues to be a nemesis. Their shot selection limited around the rim again, going 5 of 28 from 3. Portland always does a good job defending that three-point line. Dame Lillard had 33. Terry Stotts is just a maestro with what he's able to pull off in games. Brooklyn fell last night 120 to Washington, 125-116. Checking out the Eastern Conference playoff picture with the Charlotte loss and with the Brooklyn loss. Not hard to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. The Washington Wizards are still three games out, both Miami and Orlando ahead. And that's the story of the night. We get to Miami, where Dwayne Wade hit a miracle buzzer beater to beat the Golden State Warriors last night, 126-125. Interesting in that game, both games' offenses were just incredible. The Warriors, DeMarcus Cousins, did not play last night due to load management, but their defense just absolutely non-existent. Golden State, sometimes in some of the best cities, don't defend. Minnesota fell in overtime to Atlanta last night. Trae Young was masterful and is showing, you know, as great as Luka is, Trae Young and a first-round pick, not guaranteed yet to be the disaster that everyone thought. Trae Young, 36-8-10 last night, beating up on Tyus Jones of Minnesota, who did have 11 assists. Overtime win for Atlanta, who came from far behind to win that Minnesota's playoffs hopes, which were seeming to be revitalized, diminish a little bit. There. San Antonio beat Detroit 105-93. They're in eighth in the Western Conference. Tied with the Clippers, as the Clippers lost to the Utah Jazz last night. Jazz win after falling behind by 17 in the first half of that game, were able to come back and win it. Good defensive game for the Jazz defense, holding the Clippers to under a point per possession. For all the talk Trevor and I will have about how good Indiana is, they do the opposite last night. They lose to Dallas 110-101. Milwaukee, with Giannis only playing 24 minutes due to knee soreness, is able to beat Sacramento 141-140. What a great game. Fast pace. Those are two of the fastest paced play. They played 120 possessions last night in an overtime game between Sacramento and Milwaukee. Buddy Hield was big for Sacramento as they continue to try to make their little quest. And the Lakers actually won a game. The Lakers beat the Pelicans in L.A. 125-109. Clippers are now two games up on Sacramento, three games up on the Lakers, Clippers and Spurs at 7-8. And as I mentioned, Orlando just a half game back of the Hornets, who lost to Houston last night. And Detroit is a game, two games up on the Magic and the Heat. They lost as well last night, though Detroit has won 7 of 10. All right, that's a quick run through of what happened last night. We're joined next by the great Trevor Booker for his insight into the game. We'll talk about who he's watching, players that get under your skin, playing hard, coaches that people don't give a lot of credit to. Some insight from Trevor that's unique in his position as a current NBA player trying to work his way back, hoping to get a deal before the season is over, and acting as analyst here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, you, when you get in your car, you can tell your smart device to play the podcast of your favorite team. Joined now by Trevor Booker. And Trevor, I got to open by giving you a hard time. You don't seem to understand how social networking is supposed to work.
What do you mean?
Well, you put up that video of you working out the other day, and it included misses. Don't you know everyone's life is perfect? No one ever misses a shot on social networking. Like, you're not supposed to show that the world's at all real in any way, shape, or form when you're doing things like that, Trevor.
Exactly. That's why I'm different. My best friend, he's like, dude, what are you doing? Don't you know teams are watching that? I said, Jonah, I show the real me. You know, everybody's putting up all of their makes. Nobody's going 100%. They need to see real. They don't need to see. I don't want to be like everybody else. So that's why I put that video up.
You know, I was thinking about this. I did a Locked On Jazz episode on this the other day. So Rick Carlisle, as you know, these coaches are pretty bright. Every now and then you get them in a moment where they really reveal something. And I asked Carlisle a question. He went on a tangent, which was clearly the thing he wanted to talk about. And his comment was, everyone's talking about how everyone's a shooter. It's not that everyone's a shooter now. Everyone's a shooter and a driver. So that you now have at least four, almost always five guys outside the arc who both can shoot it and both can drive it. I thought that was an interesting way to look at what's going on, not just everyone's a shooter.
Yeah. Being a shooter, period, is just changing the game, you know. It's changing the way, you know, teams prepare in the offseason. It's changing the way teams play. Nowadays, you just have to be a shooter.
You came in the game kind of as a banger, crafty, good passer, but an undersized guy. Is it crazy to you how different, as you try to get back and get your next role, how different your game has to be?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, you know. Like you said, when I came in, you know, the four man got the ball down low. So it's totally different now. Now you have to stretch the floor. Or it's going to be tough for you to get on the floor. So it's a big time difference. But it's the evolution of the game, you know.
All right, so let's get to what's going on in the game. We're recording this on Wednesday, dropping it on Thursday. So we haven't reacted to we don't have a reaction to the bunch of games that took place. I think 11 games that took place last night, but there's a lot of other stories. The biggest story in the league is what's going on with the Lakers, and both the Lakers and Celtics seem to have been negatively impacted by the Anthony Davis stuff. What are you seeing in the Lakers right now?
Oh, man. I'm pretty disappointed in the Lakers. You know, after the All-Star break, I was like, yeah, LeBron's going to come back, you know, healthy, feeling good, and they're going to start rolling. But, you know, it's the total opposite. They get beat by New Orleans, you know, which is a team that's discombobulated right now. And they lose to, you know, Memphis Grizzlies, who's one of the bottom teams in the West. So I'm not really sure what's going on, but I think it's something going on inside of that locker room. I don't know, you know, the younger guys, if the media is distracting them or what it is, but something's definitely going on.
Is there a chance that that team's actually not that good?
I don't know. That team has so much talent, and I've seen LeBron with way less talent you know, take the team to the finals. So it's kind of interesting. I think the talent is there. They have a, I wouldn't say a good team, but they have the talent. It's just something else.
LeBron's injury is the first one. All of us are waiting to see whether he ever slows down. It hasn't been that much time for him to be back. His numbers are still great. Is there any sign to you that he's not everything we think he is?
I mean, if you watch him play, he's still doing LeBron things. The numbers are still there. He's still looking great. I mean, I heard something where, you know, he could still be slightly injured, but I don't think he would be out there if he was, you know, if he couldn't go full go. So, I mean, to me, he's still the best player in the league.
Who's the second best player in the league?
Whew. Honestly, I would have to say Paul George. It's hard to go against that. You know, he's a smooth scorer. You know, he can give you 30 a night if he wanted to. And, you know, and he does it on the defensive end every night. So I would have to say Paul George, and not too many people would say that because he's not getting, you know, the notoriety that he deserves. But if I had to choose, I would have to say Paul George.
Did you watch that Denver-Oklahoma City game on Tuesday night?
I watched half of it. I watched the first half.
I mean, Denver waxed him pretty good.
Yeah, Denver's looking really good right now. Jokic, man, he's a problem. You know, he's just so versatile. He's just such a unselfish player, but at the same time, you know, he can score the basket. So, I mean, that's tough to deal with. And just overall, just playing as a team, the way they move the ball and pass the ball, that's a tough team to beat right now.
Yeah, 36-9-10 in that game is pretty real. That's all right, so let me zero in on Denver for a second. That's a team that misses the playoffs by a game. With that performance against Oklahoma City, they're pretty undisputedly the second-best team in the West. What is it? Was it just Jokic got that much better? How did they get that much better?
I think, you know, they had a young team. And, you know, everybody just got a year of experience. And, you know, their chemistry, it grew. I'm not sure what Coach Malone is doing, but he's doing a great job, whatever he did over the summer. And they have it rolling right now.
I know you're all in on Paul George. Are you all in on the Thunder? They've played the softest schedule of anyone in the NBA. They now play a real schedule of teams. They've actually dropped three of their last four. Are you all in on them, or do you still have some doubts?
No, I've had doubts, you know, from the beginning of the season. I don't know what it is, but they're missing something just to take them to the next level. I think they're missing probably one piece. Maybe like a Wes Matthews or something like that. If they could have got Wes Matthews after he got bought out, that would have been huge for them. But I heard they were looking at him. I don't know what happened with it, but I think they're missing something like that.
What?
You know, a knockdown three-point shooter plus a great defender.
When you say a Wes Matthews, what is it, someone who doesn't need the ball in his hands? I mean, obviously there's not a lot of oxygen left in that offense with Russ and Paul George already there.
Yeah, Russ, I mean, Wes, you know, he plays his role, you know, a great role player. He can, you know, sit on the outside. If he's open for three, he's going to knock it down. And then he's also that pest, you know, on the defensive end. He plays with that grit, and he knows how to get under your skin, and he has experience. And I think, you know, that would really help that team out.
Who's the best get under your skin guys in the league? Who are the guys that get under their opponent's skin the most in the league?
I have to say Marcus Smart is probably one of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's just so gritty and, you know, grind, and he's just such a pest on the defensive end. It's like, man, just move, just get away. Who would be another one? Joel Embiid, you know, he talks so much so much junk on the court. And, you know, don't let him get going on the offensive end. He's really going to start talking. But he can also bring it on the defensive end. And, you know, it start talking even more junk.
I remember, actually, I think you might have been playing on this team. A coach said to me about one of our better players at the time, he's scared of P.J. Tucker. Like, he doesn't want to play P.J. Tucker. Now, when a coach says that, are you scared that he actually might, like go off and punch you? Or are you just scared that he's going to beat your ass? Like, what is a player scared of when they're playing someone like P.J. Tucker?
I think the thing with P.J., when he goes against, you know, a team's best player, you know, he takes it personal. So he gets up in your stuff, you know, and he's gonna be right there every play. He's so, you know, so strong, and he can move his feet so well. You know, it's just hard dealing with that. And he's gonna be, you know, all up under you the whole game. And you know, if you're not bringing in that game, he's gonna talk junk too, and that can get in your head.
How much does it bug you when a guy like Joe Ingles starts talking junk?
Joe Ingles is a pest too. I watched Joe play, and I mean, I actually played with Joe, but hey, Joe is very sneaky. You know, Joe's a good defender, and if you don't bring it at night, he's going to talk junk. And, you know, he might give you a little sneaky bump, you know, toss you a little elbow. He's going to get under your skin somehow.
I remember a player once told me about playing defense. Guys hate to be touched. It's no different, he said, than if we're standing outside talking and I start touching them, it's going to bother them. I just do the same thing in the game that would bother them in real life. Guys hate to be touched.
Yeah, definitely. So, especially if you're right there the whole game, you know, you're taking the ball out, the ball is not even in yet, and the guy's up under you, that really gets in your head. It takes away from the game. So, you know, it's a good, you know, tactic to try to distract the other player.
Trevor Booker is with us here on Locked On NBA. We'll talk a little bit about the Celtics and Raps, the Cousins with Warriors, and some of that as we continue. Remember, find your favorite NBA team and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On, whomever it might be. Maybe it's the Raptors after that big win the other Tuesday night against the Celtics. Tell your smart device to play Locked On, whatever it is, and get it immediately in your car on your smart device. It is Locked On NBA. So, Trevor, building off our last conversation for a quick second, why don't more people do that? Why don't more people defend that way? If it's really that bothersome, is it because they don't want it back? What's the reason? I mean, you did it. Why don't more guys do it?
I think most guys just don't want to be, you know, aggravated. They don't want to, you know, seem like a bad guy to the other player. You know, they want to seem like buddy, not really buddy, but they don't want to, you know, make anybody mad.
It's interesting. It's funny how that works, right? You never know who your teammate might be or where you might see him again. We touched on the Lakers. What are you, if I remember correctly from one of our earlier conversations this year, you're not particularly surprised at this level of Celtic dysfunction this year. Is that an accurate comment?
That is.
What did you see before the year started that led you to believe this might be tough?
You know, just Gordon and Kyrie coming back. You know, last year they were playing without him, so they had, you know, everybody knew their role. Everybody knew their role, and you know, knew how the season. I mean, knew they had to go out and play hard, and the shots that they were going to take, and they would get the same shots every game. You know, but this year with those two being back, it's like, you know, it's not enough, you know, balls to go around. They have a lot of talent, but some of the guys just don't get enough shots up to be as accurate as they like. You know, if they got more touches and more shots up, you get into a better rhythm. But, you know, some guys, some nights they get, you know, probably 10 shots less than what they would like. It just depends on how to, you know, who's shooting that night. And that could, you know, probably be pretty frustrating core player.
If you haven't been paid yet and you're not getting your shots, what happens to you?
Oh, man. You get super frustrated. And you go out there and you try to force things. But, I mean, I don't see that, you know, too much with the Celtics, watching them. I think they still do a pretty good job of sharing the ball. But it's just guys, you know, just being in a rhythm when the ball is coming to you and it's your turn to shoot. If you go too long without shooting, and then it's hard to get in the rhythm that way.
So both the Lakers and Celtics have a common thread. They have veterans, they have good players, but a lot of this is how good Jason Tatum is, how good Kyle Kuzma is, how good we think Jaylen Brown is, how good we think, you know, Brandon Ingram is. And yet all of them are young players. Is there a level that it's just they're not ready to do what you have to do and understand or even want to maybe do what you have to do over 82 games to win consistently?
Oh, it could be a combination of that plus just the system that you're playing in. You know, I think if Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, if they were playing, you know, in New Orleans, you know, they would get a lot more shots. And I don't think the ball movement is as good as, you know, Boston's is. So, you know, they could, you know, go a little bit more one-on-one and, you know, get into that rhythm that I'm talking about. And I think you'll see the numbers go up.
Is your guess on Boston that the minute they hit the playoffs, everything mellows out and they're okay?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the playoffs, that's another level. And, you know, teams pick it up even more in the playoffs. And if you don't have, you know, things figured out by the end of the season, you're not just going to, you know, all of a sudden pick it up in the playoffs.
Are you ready for a Toronto Raptors-Milwaukee Bucks Eastern Conference Final?
I could really see that. I could really see that. It's going to be, you know, pretty interesting with, you know, Toronto, Milwaukee, and Philly, you know, in the playoffs. You know, Indiana is still, you know, surprisingly, they're still, you know, doing pretty well without Vic and holding on to that third spot. But when the playoffs come around, I think it'll be those three teams, Philly, Toronto, and Milwaukee. You know, one of those teams come out of the East.
Let's dig into that for a second, if we might. What is going – how is it possible that Indiana is still winning like this?
Because they play as a team, you know. They have – you know, even with Vic there, the ball movement, they don't rely on one person every night. Of course, you know, Vic is a huge piece of that team. But, you know, the ball movement, you know, the scoring can come from anywhere any given night. And, you know, they just play – so hard every night, on defense, on offense, and they trust each other. They know, you know, not just one guy. They don't rely on just one guy. And I think, you know, that's really helping them out this season without Vic.
So, I mean, we kind of keep touching on this a little bit, but, like, is it really just that Indiana plays harder than everyone else, or is there something that Kevin Pritchard has built, that Nate McMillan's doing, that we're not evaluating correctly? When a team, for me, Trevor, when a team has suddenly gone 60-plus games and lost their star and this good, I try to pull back and say, what do I not know? What is it that I don't understand about the game? Because I certainly wouldn't have Indiana at 40-21 right now.
Yeah, not too many people would, you know. But it's just like I said, you know, KP, Kevin Pritchard, and Chad Buchanan, they've done a great job of building that team, you know, with players, with, you know, good players. You don't have, you know, great players on that team, but at the same time, you know, everybody is good and everybody knows their role. Coach McMillan has done a great job of, you know, identifying roles, you know, for each player, and they've bought in. You have to have players that, you know, buy into the system, buy into their roles, and, you know, everybody has done a great job on that team of buying in.
If you put a different coach on that team, Nate's unique in his own way. Don't F with the game is kind of his whole mantra, right?
Yeah.
If you put a different coach, and I'm not trying to disparage another coach, but just another coach, are they a 500 team? Like, is Nate driving that bus?
I think, you know, Nate has something to do with it, but not, you know, everything. I really think, you know, it's the players. You know, just believing in each other and trusting each other. Nate has something to do with it, but if I had to pick one thing, you know, I would, you know, pick, you know, just the players believing in each other and playing for each other.
Unless something's changed, and I don't know why he necessarily – I'm not sure this is a fair reputation on Nate. Nate's reputation is that he's not like an X's and O's genius in any way. Is that fair, or is that some terrible ex-player stereotype that he's been labeled that way, whereas the Brad Stevens and Quinn Snyders get labeled as the, you know, crafty X's and O's guys?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put him on that level as Brad Stevens and Quinn Snyder. You know, but he knows his basketball. He knows how to draw play. You know, and even if you aren't, you know, that the X and O, you know, genius, you're going to have somebody on your staff that is. So that's going to help you out a lot. Wherever you're weaker, you know, you can hire somebody to help you out, you know, in that area. But he's definitely not, you know, bad at X and O's. But I wouldn't put him on the level of, you know, Quinn and Brad. Not too many people are on that level.
Is there a team out there that you watch where you think, wow, if they had a different head coach, that team would win far fewer games? Like, is there a team that you watch, or vice versa? Is there a team you watch and you say, wow, if they change coaches, that team could really have a revival?
Ooh. Let me see. It's hard to say. Nobody comes to mind. I'm sure, you know, when I'm watching games at night, I'm saying that, but I can't think of anybody right now.
It's interesting. I just think the one that jumps out to me right now is both Doc Rivers and Nate McMillan have their teams just playing really, really hard. And I think we forget about the value of just what we've talked about this whole show, playing hard, right? Like, that you can't – none of the execution, none of the other stuff matters until all your guys are playing hard. And maybe Boston and L.A. just aren't playing hard.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to – you know, I think some teams sometimes teams, you know, just rely on their talent and they think that it's going to get it done, which is not the case, you know. Hard work, you know, beats talent at any time. So I don't know. Maybe those guys are relying on their talent, and you know, teams are coming out because they know they have a lot of talent, and they're just playing harder than them.
Final thing for Trevor Booker. Any quick thoughts on the Warriors with Boogie Cousins so far?
I think, you know, he adds another dimension to that team. But I was talking to my buddy. I went to the Charlotte and Warriors game. The other night, two nights ago, and I was telling my buddy, I was like, I don't think they're going to win it this year. I think, you know, whoever comes out of the East is going to win the championship this year. And, you know, he was in shock because it's the Warriors and all of that. They have the hype. But I really believe whoever comes out of the East this year is going to win the championship. I think the Warriors, they just don't have it this year for some reason. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't think Boogie's made them better. Frankly, I think every time – you know what? I hold on this thought. I mean, it's very numerical. Every time Boogie shoots, it means Durant, Curry, or Thompson's not shooting, which to me, if I'm the opponent, that's a win. As good as he might be, he's not one of those three guys shooting. So I'll take every possession he wants to use.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have a point there. I mean, I would like to see him, you know – set ball screens more and try to get a switch and then, you know, go into the post and you know, post a smaller defender up. And, you know, that way it's either, you know, one-on-one or somebody's going to have to come double, and then it's going to free up Durant, Clay, or Steph, and, you know, let it really, you know, get the team going and cause some problems for the other team.
I'd rather have Trevor Booker playing five for the Warriors than DeMarcus Cousins. I'll let Bob Myers know. Get your workout in, my man. Thanks for your time. We always appreciate you here on the Lockdown Podcast Network. Trevor Booker working his way back to get back on the floor and playing Lockdown Podcast Network analyst for us as well. Thanks, buddy. I really appreciate it.
All right, thanks.